This is the May 14th, 2008 meeting of the Council Brian Mack.
Robberies all over the Bay Area. Long story short, suspect lived in Castle Valley. He committed a home invasion robbery in El Cerrito. El Cerrito was following and trying to make their case. And while their detectives are following, and he commits another robbery in the city of Alameda, they chase him into Oakland. He crashes. He tries to carjack somebody. The Oakland cops show up. Long story short, they end up shooting and killing him. The other thing that pops up on here is an assault with a deadly weapon. That was actually a domestic man and woman fight, and the woman hit the male with a shovel. The issue is, was the kid, well, the money was moving back the next day, so let the chief of office look at what's out there. They were sitting down having dinner together, and the man said, oh, she's okay now, we'll have the duty, we've got to serve here. And they're taking her out of the house, you know, will you pick me up when I get out? Oh, yeah. And the only other news, I brought Jeff Kruger, who's our crime prevention specialist, former Richmond officer, not too bad. The 9/11 cuts, we're losing the entire crime prevention unit, to include Jeff. So, real unfortunate. We're going to have to find a way of kind of managing our neighborhood watch groups, so that's one of the things that he was tasked with. So that's going to be kind of a chore. But beyond that, overall, not bad, huh?
Do we have anything in our committee, Eric, to that about the second one with the tax free on the debt that was in the
road? I'm not aware of it. The traffic stuff is not on. I don't know if he's aware of that or not. I
have information
about the part
of the That's the one.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Could you send me that report too?
Did it make it in?
Well, I haven't checked it today, but it wasn't in the
report. I sent it a couple days ago. So.
A couple days ago?
Sorry, sent it. And I turned it up and I sent it along to make sure they'd be the report for mail as well. There's five reports and nothing.
I just want to thank you for removing the mattress, if you did, from the street. It was really helpful. And let's see, I was going to ask you something else, and my mind just went blank. Go ahead, you asked what it was.
Oh, it works quicker. I called up Martina to take care of this, and I think we talked
I know what I was going to ask you real quick. If somebody doesn't, if the woman hit the guy with a shovel and he doesn't file a complaint, does she still have to go to jail for it?
Yes.
And so
this is a domestic violence situation, and there are state laws governing all police in the state anyway. Domestic violence response, as far as that there will be a report written that you will try to determine who the primary aggressor is, and she will make an arrest.
So even, did he file, I'm just trying to figure out, because it didn't used to be that way, did he file the complaint, or did she file the complaint, or how did this get into the police jurisdiction? Yeah, how did
I don't remember how they got
yeah, that's interesting. It didn't used to be that way, by the way. I remember from
when I
was a kid.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they did, because if somebody didn't file a police report, you couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's
not the case anymore. Okay. Very structured on how we respond and what actions we take.
I think this lady had a question.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to ask you. I've noticed there's been an increase of crime in the El Cerrito area. It's not my imagination. And I'm wondering why that is, number one, and number two, with that fact being so, why are we having a reduction in the police officers?
Well, first off, I would tell you, from what I said, there's not an increase. Maybe just you're more aware of it now than you were before, but I could show you the numbers for the last year. And they're pretty, you know, in the cold months, it'll drop off November, December, and then the starts to warm up, it'll pick up again. Usually the peak being July and August. The second side of that is we're not cutting officers. The gentleman that was with me here is a non-sworn, what we call a specialist. He doesn't drive around in his old car, he's not out on the street. He sits in an office with me, and I said he coordinates efforts with the neighborhood watch groups, and he used to print these up for me, this type of stuff. But we're not laying off any deputies whatsoever.
And you're saying it's not an increase?
No, not that I'm paying out.
Do you have a question?
I don't know if it's a question or a statement, but when you mentioned the canceling of the overseeing officer for the neighborhood watch, we're kind of having, I wouldn't say an incline rate, but definitely a deterioration of quality of life. We're stuck between two houses and have a lot of teenagers, and one of them is a possible drug house running back and forth. Bring back and forth between houses. I ended up having to call the police out last Saturday night because they just couldn't quit it when he started dragging everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and this is after three of my neighbors called. They complained anonymously. I was the only one to press charges on that. Since we're not a county officer out there, we don't even get copies of what we can we pull off on or anything like that for our particular street.
You can call me and I can do that for you. I'll give you a card and then it'll be...
Okay. So in other words, anything else that we can come up with, this is the first time we've ever been to anything like that, and most of the people on our street, they're kind of on the elderly side, or they work all day, or they're working all day, or have weird hours, so we're just trying to get whatever information we can to get some help, because, we're really getting at new cans because there's more and more of them showing up, so it wow. definitely looks like they have gang affiliation.
Yeah.
And we never had this on the chalk, the Alpha Santa Maria Road. From the hilltop side, going from hilltop to drive coming down. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing all kinds of excuse expression floodlight rolling down mm-hmm. walking through
them.
Well, yeah, all the calls.
Yeah, we can.
Ron's number is on the card. That's
okay, that's on the
call. Also the reference guide that I gave you.
Okay.
That was a good
one. Oh, okay.
Would you like to address the
budget
counter?
I'm also Eric Bruce and Highway Control. I'm on the Highway Control scheme, which is the community response team. There's only two of us behind the team right now, and that day we'll be covered with one camera. And part of our duties is to come to these matches. I apologize if we haven't been here lately, but the CRT team just got to be started in January. The only reason why this is my first time here is because of the J30, the JCO back meeting is on the same day as tonight at 6:30. So I thought of those of you and now I'm going to be here. I'm going to try to come here every month. I can't promise you that I'll be here, but I am going to try.
That's great.
The community response team handles the traffic complaints in Contra Costa County. And say, for example, you have a problem with people speeding.
We have a lot of extra cars that just don't seem to
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a fine line between the sheriff's abatement unit that handles some of that stuff and what we would handle.
Yeah.
If a vehicle is just parked and not moving and it's a nuisance, that would be the abatement of the sheriff's name. If it has expired registration over 6 months, mm-hmm. not just 1 month, but 6 months,
right.
or if it's stolen and abandoned, then the highway patrol would handle that. And since our team handles the traffic complaints, like if you call into our office mm-hmm. and you say you have a problem with vehicles speeding on the street, they will take a formal complaint, write it down, the location, the time it's happening, mm-hmm. and then they will give it to me.
Then you're at the dispatch number because a few times I've had a problem calling to CHP concerning either beverage or other things going on the street. You can take an order and I'm trying to get actually two of our person there gone.
We close at 5 o'clock, mm-hmm. and there's an ongoing problem right now. That's an emergency, mm-hmm. that you call 911. Otherwise, you can be in your business hours. One vehicle speeding on the street.
There's actual rooftop and several, and two motorcycles.
So that would be something that would have to be in your business hours, just as long as you call.
So,
what I'd like to say is what we normally do, and I do this the first time you're here. But we let them get their report, and then the council asks questions, and then the audience, we open it up to the audience. I should explain that at the beginning of the year. I'll do that from now on.
As I was saying, if you make a traffic complaint, it will be addressed. It will not get pushed aside, I promise you.
No.
We get them, and they will be addressed. Not that day, necessarily, but doing enforcement in that area is a public intervene. And that being said, when we come over there, it's not going to be a complaint, but it's not going to be a report either. So if you want to stop, so you're probably going to be with it. And that happens many times. And they say, well, I called him for speeding. And I said, yeah, you're not wearing your seatbelt. So, here you go. And in these areas, so it's not fair to the people, the citizens complaining, for us to turn around and give verbal warnings there, but I'm going to stop.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the
That being said, the armed pedestrian fatality that happened on Central Abraham Road, the investigation is ongoing and it's rather complicated. The way I understand it now, the investigating officer is probably not going to be treated as a hit and run because it's believed that the person was already down and the initial vehicle that struck her pulled over, and when she was in the roadway, one or two vehicles ran her over and probably didn't know. And that's very common pedestrian accidents. Whoever it is in the first definitely knows, but once they're down in the roadway, oftentimes, if you're driving a large truck or an SUV, you could run over a, in this case, a small female. That's the way we're dealing with it right now. But there's no follow-up right now as far as the person that ran over. So right now, I don't know if he has any means on that specifically. It was an accident, and my understanding is you ran out into the roadway after the domestic dispute with your boyfriend. He's not involved, he's not, it was just verbal, not physical. She was upset, she left the house, she tried to cross the street, and she got ran
down. Well, there's a lot of, well, I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, I haven't been talking about the violation of the there, I wrote 10 speeding tickets, the highest is 64 miles per hour. One seatbelt, and I arrested a 16-year-old. So if I get a traffic complaint, I will do something about it. I promise. During the first quarter of 2008, there were 32,000 collisions in El Sorante. 16 of those were injury collisions. That does not include anything after the I don't have any traffic citation statistics. The Highway Patrol policy is not released. However, when I come to my meetings, I will release what I've done because I have a knowledge of that. But I can't get the stats for the other officers. And just to clarify, the three response teams, just myself as another officer. There's two main officers for the Highway Patrol that work in El Sorante. Because they have the agency, the first two or three miles of Highway 4, and Rodeo, Crockett, and El Sorante. So if we're not out here, don't expect anybody to be too big on the street. This is not going to happen. They're just going to be fine. If you make a specific traffic complaint, I'll get to it.
No more description of that.
Yes. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Can I go?
I have a question. I'll file it next. I had a couple complaints about visitors parking on the off ramp or
which off ramp?
Hilltop Mall going east.
That's the Oakland CHP jurisdiction.
Oh, okay.
That's the Highway Patrol takes the unincorporated El Sorante area, including the streets off the hilltop. But when it comes to the freeway, we don't take over until 8:00. So Oakland CHP takes everything west of 8:00, including the hilltop. Secondly, it's not able to do this far from that fence unless it's blocked in. And they're usually only there for
pretty much.
Use it as a parking space.
Yeah.
And they're all the time anymore.
I don't have any
more to go. That's the fifth location of the CEP in the
It's not an infraction department.
No, it's not. Unless the officer perceives it means it's some kind of visual hazard, then it would be, but only then you just have to.
The main problem that is, as far as I see, is that there's been sort of increasing graffiti around it and trash.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, and I'm not too guilty.
But I don't think she's been called about it.
Okay.
She tried to get through on 911 and let you do.
I'll be happy to take his information from you, and then I can pass that to the meeting
officer. So people were mentioning jaywalking, whatever, it was around 9:40 p.m. And so, sorry, that's probably one of the primary factors, that area growth up.
That section of St. Howard Day Road is very dangerous for pedestrians. Since I've been in contact with officers, there have been at least 3 auto pedestrian fatalities there and multiple firing reactions. 90% of the time, is we're probably even more than that. It involves a pedestrian not using a crosswalk and trying to cross the street.
They should be.
Call me back. We'll call you back. But most times I don't have to.
Derek Bula.
Yeah, I just want to, I'll condense it. Yeah, the jaywalkers on Aiken Way irritate the heck out of me. You know, I have to slam on my brakes all the time for them, and they stroll across the street. And so I'm just wondering, are you guys going to step up an effort to really enforce the law and sitting in pickets? That's number one. I'll get the other ones you can answer. And then also the trash that's along, you know, the Lithian Way and along the San Pablo Dam Road and all this kind of stuff that's going on. And it just goes on and goes on. So I don't know if you're nabbing those people. And can we have buffers on some of our streets? So that people that, you know, if they want to go flying, you know, they'll go flying through the loop. You know? Is there a way we can do that?
You can't have buffers on the streets in my college.
Why?
Buffers.
You know, where are those things? Steve, where are those things?
Okay. You have kind of a little individual...
Those things that you go over and, you know...
Okay.
Steve,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like it. Yeah. What's his name?
Jerry Page, F-A-H-E-Y.
Yes.
He could be the county engineer's office off Glacier Mirror, Martinez, I don't have his phone number. I can't bring that with me. And Kelly has no policy for speed homes. That kind of gets a bit of speed homes at all. And in jurisdictions that do have speed homes, they're removing them because they're a hazard to the body. some fire engines can't get over them. And the reason why we don't have speed homes is because the state has told us that guidelines to do and measurements to do for speed homes. And so we kind of look to the state of the county to give us direction, and the state legislature has decided on that.
And let's keep it unincorporated. Thank you very much. We want to say El Sabrande.
Approved it, so it's now sent over to PG&E. for installation. And because we have a contract with PG&E, we don't own those street lights. We have to wait on their schedule, which is anywhere from 4 months. They know about this, and so hopefully that'll kind of raise the priority a little bit more, but it's been over to PG&E to have to fight this all. Paving along the Pebble Dam Road. It's full of food.
All right.
Caltrans has released the money.
Yay!
That means that it now has to go out for bid. The reason why it was held up was that there were some new requirements of Caltrans, and so we had to submit additional paperwork and that held everything up. So the timeline for this is that we'll go into bid, we have to wait for responses, and then go into meeting and all of that. And the project will be finished by October or November. Public Works is part of the, whoever the new contractor, they're going to have to do the notification for the neighborhood that this is happening. They're also going to do the flash signal, the construction during this time. So that's going to be a part of the whole outreach.
Number and email for Joe Moscato. Do you have that?
Joe Moscato has a same phone number as Jacob.
Which is? wanted to get copies of the, whenever she comes out with the El Sobrany planning, zoning, what do you call it, the zoning report, the code enforcement report. How can I get that? So we can, I've been following two or three different cases and I can't, just can't get
hold
of it.
You can call our office.
Okay. Can you tell me if...
It's going to be pretty new at this, so we're not going to know all of the nuances of the different cases that are open.
Do you have a PDF of this, or...?
Our office received this thick.
Oh, no, the ones I've seen are not that thick.
The ones that we received were all of them.
Just for El Sobrany is all I think.
El Sobrany is a very specific section of that.
Oh, wow.
Report.
If you get more out of website,
I don't think that's how you're able to do that.
Yeah, because if you can't follow what's going on, I mean, there's no point in...
You can call our office. Or you can call Joe at the number. He can research it for you.
Yeah.
I don't think right now there is ability to check online because these are pretty extensive. A lot of them are notes from code enforcement officers and things like that, so they're not completely computerized at this point. They're getting up there, but As a resident
of the citizen,
you're not able to
find out what kind of status is. Just a comment. You know how long I've been talking about the one at the corner hilltop and La Paloma and the one up there on Santa Rita Road. It's still the problem. I mean, this is
huge. Yes, there are several cases on Santa Rita.
This is the one with that iron trailer that all of a sudden just went into flames one day.
Oh, my God. There's several on Santa Rita, and I think they were doing well and to make corrections on those things.
Yes, I know it was fine.
I don't know if I forget the property, but on the major one, there was a lot of trash and garbage. It looked like the property owner had taken care of it over the weekend, and we found out that he basically created his property into a dump site, and he buried it.
That's the one on Santa Rita? Oh, yeah.
What I can do, if I get it, you know, before the second Wednesday of every month, is to make a copy of that.
Yeah, PDF.
I can make a copy of it and just have it available.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we get it. So if you just copy it.
Well, I need a copy for the PDF. So what is the problem with the PDF?
Are they as strong in something code as, you know, is, I don't know, right?
I see the refrigerators outside of people's houses. It looks like a garbage can. It's like a city dump. You know, stuff that's so, garages are opened up and there's not, you can't even put a pencil in it because it's loaded up with just so much garbage. And it's a fire hazard. And still I see this going on, and I'm wondering, is there, can somebody do a sweep and kind of like,
We had more resources than more office, code enforcement officers. In the department, we could probably do that, but it wasn't code enforcement officer for, also running an Eastern Heights area, which is a pretty big area. And so most of what they do is more reactive.
But the thing is, it brings down the value even worse than what it is now.
Let me comment on the refrigerator. There was one in that neighborhood rival, and the doors were locked up against the wall. The doors were locked up. We called code enforcement. It was missing the next day. So all you have to do is call that code enforcement.
You don't have to know that number.
Every opportunity that John and I have to recruit members of the NAC You're not sitting on that, or you don't have a lot of that.
Thank you very much, Karen. We appreciate that. The next item on the agenda is a presentation by Larry and
you forgot our most important lady here. Michelle. She's so sweet. She didn't do anything.
Yesterday was a very good day to bring them. And I'm always very pleased to know that we hired the contractors to come out of band yesterday, as well as other things. So that's a good thing. And it'll take about 6 weeks for all the paperwork to change. The way they're going to work combined initially, there's going to be a rate hearing on July 8th. The current intent is to do a $2 surcharge for CPS, $2 per 25 gallons. Over usage, your usage, your normal usage went for the stress contact. Anything over that, it's $2 per 25 gallons.
Hold it. No.
I have a question regarding, so some consumers already are trying to conserve and have been over time. So how does that work? Do you still have to cut back for that? Yes.
Yeah.
How much are you using? What they've done is they've taken a 3-year average because they're not just going back to last year. So a lot of people did cut back last year. They loved their vacuum last year. They had cut back because of the Crown Tunnel. People in this area really responded well. And we don't want those people to be penalized for doing a good job for us last year. That wouldn't be fair. So they're actually using the 3-year average to come back to 2001. And they're using the numbers from there. If you're using less than 100 gallons a day, you don't even come into the picture. You don't have any raise, you don't have any surcharges, and they figure if you're using less than 100 gallons a day, you're already conserving significantly, and it would be more difficult for you to do a 90% cutback. So you have to look at your water bill, see what you're using, take off, look at your water bill from last year at this time, take off your percentage point, and that's what you should be targeting for your goal. There are some things that are absolutely prohibited. It's prohibited to water your yard more than 3 times a week. It is prohibited to wash your car unless you're using a shell pump. It's prohibited to refill your sprinkler spot. It's okay to have a little bird bath bathroom for the water to circulate, but you know, no big water bowls.
No big waterfalls.
Well, you know, I mean, like a peanut. The use of potable water for construction is prohibited. The alternatives are available, and we will be making recycled water available by tanker for construction use. And the people who are doing construction will need to go get that water, and they will be using that construction. We will not be using potable water for construction for dust control. The other thing that we're proving is this is more for the fire department. There will be no flushing of fire hydrants or sewers unless there's a specific health or public safety issue. Otherwise, we will not be flushing fire hydrants.
Did I understand you were saying you could water 3 times a week?
Yeah.
8 hours or something like that.
Right.
Okay. I'm terrible at measuring. How long am I going to know that I'm using 100 gallons a day?
Okay. Well, let me get your water bill.
Well, I think the water bill is going to get totally different.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe what you did in the past and, you know, kind of. Anyway, did you know, for example, that you take a 10-minute shower and you're going to back 19 seconds, you know, kind of those
eight minutes,
you know, I mean,
I got tired of that, because listening to the radio, the television, and it says if you take a shower every day, you want to use 30 gallons or more.
I'm sorry, I was just concerned the last drought we had here, so I'm going to go out.
But, you know, we could use, you know, the two of us take a shower every day.
What it's based on is what your use was the last 3 years.
The old bills.
Excellent.
Okay. You can call our customer service and they can look that up for you.
Okay.
That's a good way to do it.
You
got a pig already? Continue to be a pig.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, the rain was currently in effect. There is, like I said, a rain hearing on July 8th, and the rate and the Inland Edition Structure actually do this event on its first. We do need everybody to immediately start saying that while they're not waiting, because if you do wait, then it'll be worse, and probably would have to increase the rations.
Go ahead, Terrence.
So I live in a development of 182 units. The property owners we pay our water bill, but then the HOA pays its own water bill.
So the HOA
gets its own budget. Right, so
30%. Holy smokes. Don't bathe every day, Terrence. Baby wipes. I've got a comment about one thing. Is I don't know if you're aware of it, if you've had any complaints, but all three of the dogs that I have gotten Giardia, and when I brought them to the vet, it's a waterborne disease. They have a rash of Giardia. Are you seeing Giardia in the water by any chance? I know the water levels are really... They get it right out. I mean, it comes right out of the tap. That's the only place you have water. So I just thought I'd warn you of that. But it's all over this area.
Yeah,
okay.
It's in every creek. Every
so another comment about the amount of water. We looked at the water levels in the Pardee Reservoir and in Brioni's, over 90%. How come there's so much water if we're in a drought? That's a huge amount of water.
We are looking at, we look at how much water we will have at the end of the summer to serve our customers for the following year. So we have a projection based on what we use. We are looking at 61% precipitation. For the whole winter, this last winter, fall, it's a very dry year. We're going to get about half of that runoff. The runoff is just not happening. We really just know that we did have evaporated, or it's been soaked up by the dry ground. So we have to look at what we're going to have at the end of the summer, and are we going to have enough water to get us through until the next rain.
Has EPA ever, I know this is bizarre, ever considered weather modification? They use it in China and Malaysia, and it works. It works. They can call rain.
Yeah.
They do.
We'll take one more question.
Can I
do
quickie? Okay.
Yes, we'll get in.
Okay, so are you doing the cruise of looking for the wasting on the concrete again?
The board approved yesterday a budget to hire water patrol, additional water conservation reps, additional community outreach people, and additional administration people to help, as well as additional people in the call center to help you look up things like animal water. So it will take some time for, you can't have the additional babies in my eye. I started putting the eyes 2 months harder and I was back. So, you know, I hopefully it'll have been more seamless than that in the first situation. But we are doing that yet. We have that before the winter. They are going to be mine. I have to look on Friday. I have to go be a lot of job on the first. There you go. Real fast, is well water not good to use in your yard on plants?
Oh, water
is perfectly fine.
Even though it has Giardia and all various other
things. Something's got Giardia around here, I tell you.
Okay.
That's only a problem to buy the cat. Ruby hasn't asked any questions. I thought we were going to
let her in our lawn. We're going to talk about new development and people that want to build new houses. They would be requiring new meters and so on.
At this point in time, what we're doing is we're putting restrictions on the use of water for construction. As far as permitting of new projects, it has to go through a very rigorous review by our new business unit and our engineers. They would only be able to develop if they do a lot of water conservation and basically don't create a problem. So it'll be taken out case by case basis. We'll look at the development, and they are going to have to use water conservation in every way you can imagine in order to be able to get their permit and run. So it's not that we're going to say no. We're not going to, you know, kill Okay, we'll grab two more questions. Elena, Wendy, and then Elmore. We've got 4:30 left. Okay. Is yours regarding where she can find separate? So okay. I was wondering about the dance instruction.
Right from right here to the gate. This is partnership land up here. This is a privately owned property up here. Owns this. So this is the site that we proposed. Now, there's been no approvals to this project. This is still something that there's an application. Let me tell you who I am. I'm Larry Canning. That's what it says on the sheet. My name's still here. But I don't have anything to do with this project as far as ownership or anything else. I was asked by the developer was asked by the city of Richmond to include me as part of his consulting group because of my experience with the neighborhood council in Richmond, a lot of projects in the city. And the city felt that they were not being responsive to the community. So Brian working on the project with that in mind, and as a result of the problem market, Ruby and Eleanor, and I feel see some changes that they had a lot to do with it. Kind of bring in some of the things. Well, this the site is this is not really the best picture we could possibly have. The majority of the site, over 40 acres of it, is the tributaries of what you call Lockwood Creek, which runs like this, and then down to across San Pablo Down Road, right there on the way into San Pablo Creek. The majority of the minor area is grass. This used to be a site where there's a lot of grazing. Right now, there actually is some grazing. There is a nonprofit horse riding organization that is stationed up here. If you ever walk this site or walk your dog and go up there, you'll see that the group of black women, they have 12 horses that they are housing up there and using the area to graze on. They're actually trespassing, but we love them so much we let them stay. And they'll come back into the story a little bit later. I'll tell you why. Anyway, that's the site. All the environmental analysis that I've done has been a couple of attempts to finalize an EIR. And the EIR was, the latest version was submitted last year. It got out for comments that we received, and it is in the process of stalled right now until the developer gets his funding refined and gets the project started again. So we're kind of on hold. This is the project that was proposed. I guess I could turn it the other way from here. I can rely on the ground to be pushed on the pointing downward towards the Dan Road. All the green area is this wooded woodland area and tributary of the two creeks. So you can see that most of the development is proposed for the areas that where the grazing and the grass is now. This proposal has evolved, and when I got involved originally, it was 185 units. Eleanor, you've been involved longer than I have. I think it was even more than that. 185. This is a proposal for 120 units right now. And there was a lot of issues about this project. There's an active landslide, but active means it's 10,000 years old. So there are some landslide issues here. And anybody that's familiar with Lockley in the road, you may know that there's some houses up that have some damage up here. We spent a lot of money, the developers spent, when I say we, I'm kind of talking with the team. But we spent a lot of money spent on investigating the site, a lot of money went to the geotechnical investigation. The developer came up with a remediation scheme by working with the same folks that did the repair work on Highway 80 near Pinole. I'm sure you all have seen it. Group might have seen that. It's a group out of Antioch called Drill Techs, and they've had a lot of success in doing this kind of project. They came up with a solution for the cost of development of $6 million to do. And at the time of the environmental impact report, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to report with 120 units, and we wanted to use one to spend the money on remediation. Well, I guess this was Blaine and Sparta and Eleanor and Ruby and me and some other folks kind of said, you got to really get your senses together and maybe fine-tune the project a little bit and eliminate some of those costs by eliminating some of the units, basically. And there's also another issue that the East Bay Walmart School is right here. And they were concerned about several things. One, the proximity of new houses to the school, because that's always kind of a conflict. And they're also concerned about the effects of construction over a long period of time. They thought it might have an economic impact on the school. So, as a result of that and a bunch of other things, we prevailed, all of us, you know, just named, and the project has changed. And I, again, you have to give credit to Eleanor a lot. This is about 11 or 12 minutes from here, and she on the other side of the street, and then the whole bunch down by the school. So this is not estimated to the city. It's been discussed with city staff, and it's also been discussed at night with the city council in Richmond. They know about this, and because of the EIR process, they can certainly think of this as an alternative, and if this is a better plan, they can adopt this plan rather than this one. So all the units that were here have been eliminated. To extend eliminates the need to remediate that slide area. Several of these units have been taken out, these have been reconfigured, and 5 or 6 units have been taken out here next to the school. So that's a big change. It's now 100 units is the proposal. But one of the great ideas that came out of the community, and a lot of this has to do with Elmer and some of the other folks, is a suggestion that possibly if we could find a way to fit in a clustering facility for the community. And originally, in this plan, the developer was going to reserve this area, it's about 7.7 acres, for big custom houses, one area, later phase. So he decided to give this area, which is right here, over to the horseman to create a biting academy, if you will, or a new clustering facility. So this is about 5 acres, a little less than 5 acres altogether. We worked with the El Salvador Valley Boys and Girls Club to do a couple things. One, to provide for them a field facility. So down here, one of the lots, this lot here, he's included in that and as a gift to them for a satellite facility, a building of some sort. So that's another opportunity. Again, none of this has been accepted by anybody, but it's something we're discussing with all the folks. By eliminating the lots here, it's going to create about 150-foot buffer area between the back of the school and the first area of development. The remainder of the plan, all this stuff here, is still in place. There's a lot of other details that I can answer as far as drainage and things like that. I'm not sure you're really interested in that right now, but the next step is to get the financing reconfigured and then finish the EIR process and then make this part of the form.
I have a question about what are
you pointing to?
Yeah.
The idea?
Yeah.
We have some requirements to do some mitigation for some there's a couple of seats on the site that are going to be taken out or down.
That is
that
can be a water full time?
No, it's a water quality wetland feature. It's only going to be wet during the rainy year. I mean, it's set up and it's got a drainage system in it at this stage. It'll hold water for maybe 48 hours, but it's meant to be less than the speed of reading period, things like that. Yeah. Try to do our homework. But it is a mitigation area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something like that. We've had some really, really good biologists working on that's the plan. So unless you've got a lot of questions, I mean, unless you've got a lot of questions, I'm done. I don't have any schedule. I mean, you have to schedule when it's going to happen. But until the developer gets his funding taken care of, and he's actively doing that right now, you all know when he's really occurred, like when Michelle grouped all together, the radio, the television, and the newspaper. Money's been tight for several months. And for projects like this, which really do require millions of dollars, there's a whole different group of people that are involved in equity financing. It's not just your local bank that's taking some money. So, but Jim is effectively working on that. He's got a meeting tomorrow, actually, with another financing group. But until that happens, we can't restart the IR process. Once the IR process is restarted, it'll take a couple months to finish off the response to the public comments. And then it will go into the public hearing process. So I would expect, in reality, this is the end of the middle of May. It wouldn't be until the fall, probably until there's public hearings. And I doubt that any construction would start in the next construction season, which would be in April of 2009. If at all, they might be able to make the latter part of that construction season. Probably most of the activity would be in 2010.
I'm assuming if Waldorf's down here, that the height that many of us take is up this way.
That's right.
At the edge of this parcel. Where is the kind of the ridge top relative to the highest development where you cross over to walk and it's East Bay Park District land?
It's quite a bit. It's quite a bit. The Dr. Rosenberg property is between us and the park.
Okay, well. Quite a bit about that. It's so hard to visualize something. But okay, so I just want, my first comment is that making the adjustments for Waldorf School, adopting the horsewoman, and giving undeveloped what's called land, the part that was going to be most expensive, the Boys and Girls Club, just seem like ways to buy the community's favor. And, this doesn't work for me. So I would like an answer to what are the water conservation plans given our continuing water crises? There's one question. Maybe, yeah, I think that would be my question. I can't really think about myself. I kind of have an attitude of being very protective of all of that open space.
One of the negotiations, in our discussion with the Waldorf School, they asked us to do, or asked the developer to do certain things, one of which was to produce a green project. So probably, and I would expect this would be a condition of approval set up by the City of Richmond, it would be either, they don't use the green EPS program in Richmond, they use building green to different set of standards. And I would expect that those standards are going to be the ones that would be in effect. So it'll be all water conservation, it's different building construction techniques, things like that. And this is also probably part of the reason.
Okay.
So,
and I appreciate that you have
been
responsible and working with members of the community.
We've had more than one
meeting. Yeah, I know. I know you so much. But I have a question similar about the issue of Boys and Girls Club. So here in Alpha Farm, in the unincorporated area, and I know you're a city, you're project in Richmond, so we really appreciate you taking the time to come here.
Hey, this is not the first time. You're new.
But I'm wondering, so this project, you know, for the unincorporated areas, and there are a lot of people that have a lot of concerns about the impact of this huge project that will, you know, directly feed into roads that are in our community and the kids go to school in our community. I mean, so it's huge, but because you're in the city of Richmond, this area wouldn't see any of the benefits likely because you have challenges around, like, you know, when the park education, being a community, you don't necessarily get sent here. So I love that you're interested in recreation opportunities and things like that. And I'm just wondering, is there any way to actually, you know, encourage the developers to build something? Because we, if they're talking about, you know, like fields, so in fact, you have a history where the Boys and Girls Club did have a parcel land given to them. They could never get the capital over a long period of time to build a field. and they sold it to the church, so the community still doesn't have fields. So it's hard for people in this community to get the capital, and I realize it's not easy for you either, but if we're talking about really...
I think I have an answer.
Okay,
I'll
shut up then.
No, we're going to do that. That's why I'm here, is to get this. We've been working with Tom Mason, and again, Eleanor's request that we talk to Tom. We've been working with the board of directors, and right now, the negotiation, one of the negotiation elements is whether or not this developer is going to build a building for the Boys and Girls Club. So, establishment of the fields, we haven't been told by their board or the community what this wants to look like. I mean, it would probably need to be graded to a certain extent. It's one of the more level parts of the site. If you get a chance to go out there, it's all open. And it's this area up here, so it's, I mean, it's all grass right now, but it's 2 feet. We would look at field sizes, multi-use field. I mean, soccer is a big deal, and other field sports are big deals. Lacrosse is now becoming a sport of choice for a lot of children. That's still being discussed. There's no on the table yet. As far as the building, we've got a conceptual design that works for Tom Mason and his people. Until they tell us more what they want, we have never really discussed anything at this as far as level in and out and getting into the field. But part of the agreement with the East Bay Walrus School right now is that they'd be allowed to use all the open space as an outdoor classroom. And that's really, that was an overrun. We had set that up in a very, very beginning. It's not clear what we're going to have to do here or what's going to be done here. Shirley Valley she's got a fairly temporary set of corrals and shelters for the horses now. And it's all totally transportable. It's all pipes and canvases. Whether she's going to do something like that, I don't know. We've looked at some of the facilities over in Marin County. There's one right up between Mill Valley and Whitesburg. It has adequate shelters and different corrals and things. So we don't know what she wants, but that is that's certainly on the table. You may notice if you've been up Clark Road, I don't know if you've been up Clark Road lately, people for hiking, but there's been a lot of activity down this area. Shirley's moving some of her horse facilities down there for the summer. She's going to have a riding academy, is that what it is?
I think
it's
going to change,
though. It's probably not going to happen. Oh, okay, I'll see. It's a good thing she's here, because she's more up to date than I am.
And the part that you say will be open space, what kind of how
well, it was always meant to be available. It's just going to be publicly accessible open space. We're not going to do anything to it.
So the developer will maintain ownership,
but
it won't go to the homeowners association.
Well, that's again, it's on the table. We thought it would go to a homeowners association or to a geological hazard abatement district. But the whole idea is going to be accessible not only to this set of houses, but to the folks in the community that use it now.
But not no way of funding that right now. Is that
any? I don't know what we have to fund. I mean, we're probably going to end up with more wildland fire abatement conditions. So if you look at some of the other counties, like Marin County, for example, they're really setting up some real strict no burn zones around that building. So anytime open space like this creates a lot of fuel by whatever dies and drops. And so that's got to be maintained somehow by somebody or some entity.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're setting yourself up for a catastrophe if things big.
But similarly,
if
there's public access,
then like,
responsible for
Access. Whatever the agreement is, it's leaning towards total public access to the school, and there's no, it's not going to be, it's not going to be a tree museum with a fence around that. That was never.
The big problem there is the liability, and that if the homeowners association is paying for the maintenance of that property, then there's insurance involved if any person from the public accesses that hurt. So that's a big issue that
I can't see that the homeowners association covering my little insurance.
general plan and the zoning permit.
You've got one
off the Wesley Road and one off the park.
And it's fine. It's
better than the area. Have you had a chance to look at the draft environmental impact report that was circulated?
It's been a while.
Okay. Because the traffic analysis is pretty thorough. And hopefully you got a chance to comment about it.
I
know the school did. Yeah, the water was going
on. Are there any plans to extend park
road? If anything, it would be an access road for the horse operation. It's not going to be a good road. It would be like basically a driveway.
Yeah, could you put the other picture, that one?
This one?
Yeah, no, that one, yeah. Then you can put up there. I was just wondering, this is La Colina right here.
Do you
have intentions of trying to cut through in any way on La Crescenta into your area?
There's a entrance into the doctor's driveway right here.
No, I'm talking about, would you be making a road?
No.
Would
be leaving us
alone, right?
Yeah, there's a doctor's gate right here. Mm-hmm. And we've asked him to turn this gate 90 degrees. This would be an emergency vehicle access and have a breakdown barrier of some sort. You go off La Colina, right?
Yeah, I know.
There's a
highway. Exactly. There.
That would be for emergency vehicles. It wouldn't be a road into the project.
Okay, and that would be. Is that etched in stone, you're saying right now, but that's not going to be an, you don't have plans to make that an access road into your complex?
It's not going
to
be a road.
I mean, I know that's Richmond, and I live in El Segundo, but I hate to say it, but
no. It's
an eyesore to me. I mean, you know, how green was, who was it that somebody wrote recently, I don't know, somebody in Richmond or El Segundo, when they said how green was our valley, and now it's becoming this.
Well, we're trying to save as much of the site as we can so we can apply it. So, yeah, there is no plan to have regular access there. Emergency vehicle only, and it would have to be either a blocked gate or a breakdown wall or something.
So that's like a buffer zone right there that's all going to be open space right in there, or the house is right up.
So the
houses are going to be up against the backyards of the La Colina people, huh?
Just four. The access to the doctor's house is going to be that row of eucalyptus. I don't know, to me those are dangerous urban trees. They shouldn't be there now if you've got children because they shatter and throw stuff, as you probably know. It'll be some sort of nasty buffer along that side. There's no houses up against this part of the
line. So you'll be removing those trees?
I don't know. They're not on our property.
Oh, that's
good. It's just a dangerous urban tree.
Mm-hmm. But they can resign the red books because they're fire retardant. They're bark.
Is this the Clark Road thing that all these signs? This is not the Clark Road. So is this next to the Clark Road? Yeah.
So this is another one.
So the Clark Road project is in limbo and won't be built, right? Because it's been, what, 5 or 6 years?
I think it's in limbo and I don't know if it's going to be built. I think the Clark Road project that you folks saw a couple years ago will not be built. I think that's off the table.
But this, you think, might be able to get through Richmond?
This project?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we hope so.
I hope so, too. I'm more of a property rights. I'm not an environmentalist type. So, I mean, I would love to see. I'd love to see some more people contributing their tax dollars so the rest of us don't.
I just want to say, each one of the houses will at least contribute $40,000 to the city of Richmond.
Yeah, but that's
There are some of those streets that are shared. There's a couple of other shares that are kind of
So why are we listening to this then if it's Richmond? Just because you think it's going to impact the road?
Yeah.
But I can't see that. I can't see that. The pollution with the car.
I mean, yes, you're going to be
project that will probably have to go in. As far as bike path, I would expect that the road to have some sort of facility for bikes.
Yeah. And again, because you know, you cross over the jurisdiction lines, and so the county may not be intimately involved in what is asked of the developer. But you know, like thinking about where the kids would go to school and making sure that some kind of provision makes them cross over, because schools, for the most part, public schools are across the same on their road. So making sure that you know there would be a way for people if they chose to go to proper bikes to school.
Sidewalks up to the almost to the gate, but the last house on Leslie, I don't think the sidewalk continues all the way, but that sidewalk would be continued, so there'd be something like a linkage all the way down on Leslie, I would assume that they would have on a car.
Right, but the connection from that point to the school, they don't think is that's
here
right now. So it may be
applying
for a grant in conjunction with the project to get that to be...
Yeah, when he left, that was one of the first things that Elmer said to me 8 years ago.
Oh, I'm making believe it.
I was talking about state parks, maybe you should talk to Foundation, maybe that's something you could incorporate into
the state parks there in residential neighborhoods really a lot of bad rats.
Yeah,
yeah.
They attract a real
crowd. We're getting into our public comment time, which we do to end at 8:45. So we'll take a few more comments and then we've got to move on. Ruby, you can handle a lot of us. Okay, Elmer and then okay, maybe Sarah can check into this for us, but when the CIR was done, the county had responsibility for making comments and maybe even showing or requesting certain design types for the entrance on Clark Road, or I should say Clark Road itself, from Dan Road up to where the entrance to the property is. And I don't think we've seen a copy of that. And it's something maybe the county has already done, or maybe they haven't done, but it's up to the county to step forward and say, this is what we want the developer to do to make this work with the county residents nearby. Okay.
Thank you.
Real fast, what do the houses look like? What's the architecture?
There's no architecture yet. I would expect that if you looked at Canyon Oaks, which is a fairly recent project.
Where's that? Is that
it's down to Campbell Demo almost.
On the right side?
Yes.
Oh,
those are houses that are on the similar side. There's no architecture done at all.
Well, I just want to make a comment. I remember when Canyon Oaks went in, there was all this worry about a lot of traffic. We had not seen it. Now, this is Richmond, and your main concern is all the traffic, but yet you're passing a general plan amendment that could permit a tremendous amount of housing going on both 18 Way and Dam Road, and which would dramatically increase the traffic. So there's a disconnect here. I don't understand what your rationale is. Comment.
The comment period for the EIR
is open, right? All the comments have been received, and it's just crappy the response to this stuff.
And then the second, what's your contact
with me? Contact?
Yeah.
I call. Everybody has my numbers and wants them. I mean, Elmer's got it memorized. My telephone number, if you want to get a hold of me, is in the 415 area code. It's 272-2780. And there's no shut off. I mean, I'm concerned at midnight. I'm like you, I work all the time. I'm homework right here. But if you need to get a hold of me, Eleanor, Barbara, I both have my office numbers and all that.
Well, thank you very, very much for
our
response to
the residents. Like I said, I don't have a schedule. It really depends on, as soon as the refinancing contract is signed, the first thing he's going to do, even before he pays me, is allocate the money to craft those response to comments.
To rewrite the response to
comments. It's actually some new comments, as you know, so it'll be It'll be probably, what I would expect is, like I said earlier, if it starts in the next month or so, then it'll be through the summer that those will be developed and then the draft will be sent to the planning commission.
Thank you.
I'm second over.
Thank you. Public comments was made. Is there any other public comments? Yeah. I wanted to briefly make some announcements about the extension of NCAA that county, not the county, he figures the part of the bond under
thank you.
It's going to be on the 2,800 and encourage the MAC to get involved in advocating for open 6 years. Hopefully the other one is the reason and part of the how we do that support. But briefly, information, the $500 million bond extension, the study showed that there is a lot of support for it. $375 million bond will go to cities and park districts of that $281 million will buy Shoreline Hills, Oak Forest, and Meadows will park. So that's a lot of money for acquisition. The other $91 million out of that would go to capital budget to develop parking lots and grounds or wildlife like that. $5 million in cleaners for habitat for the creek. So the 66 proposed park projects that involve that food has already allocated and the www.ecparks.org to find out what all is already kind of proposed. But I think we should support extension of Wildcat Canyon, especially the areas above the Park River area and access because there's not good access on the small. I don't know what direction we're facing there. That side of the hill is coming back to the corner. So, what Wildcat Canyon Commission, Parks Park is on the island and comes up with some maybe access to minor improvements to properties that Australian or not in the county owns that like their DM with high school sites. In this list, the newspaper also said that there's a local grant for capita, and in that amount, it has Australian listed for $634,680. Hopefully, that's not the only amount of money that we could have influence over. But some of these other things that I just want to go off your station. So, and advocate for what we want because we think that the other communities are, and then we want to talk about
yeah, I want to advocate for the opposite of what she's saying. As a taxpayer, I look at my tax bill every year, and I've been paying increasingly more to East Bay Mud and getting nothing out of it. Okay, I use Sparks, too, not just because East Bay Regional, whoever it is. I know there's a lot of East Bay Regional Park. I have to pay extra just because they say I'm in close proximity to open space, so they really nailed me and some people that live around me. So I just want to advocate, until they start using the money they've got right now in a more prudent fashion, I don't see any reason to give them any more. They've got a fleet of helicopters, they've got a fleet of SUVs, and they don't really use the money for what they claim they're going to use it for.
Just one thing, one other thing that we've got to update is the general plan amendment. So Pat Roach has received a compiled list from the National and so he's looking through it now. I think the next thing we have to look at is doing an air study. That's part of the recirculating the EIR. We're going to put that proposal in the county drops in. The big challenge on that is finding the money to pay for that study. There's no money.
So good.
Excellent. Very good.
And let's go and see it either. You can believe it's going to be. Oh, I do have one comment to make. You had mentioned about, the plans that we have now, open space, trying to give us a facelift. When are we going to start? Under the money.
There's a series of studies that are going to have to do water before the federal plan that can actually be voted on and implemented. So we can go through that process.
I didn't know the difference in relationship. Plans are all environmentally friendly. Why would
you still have to do a study on it?
It's so long. Super. I didn't see anything in the paper and nothing out there either.
Well, it's on the sign.
Is it on the sign? I didn't even notice it.
Wow.
They must have just put it up in there. Really?
And Mike, I thought, was sending that to the paper.
Oh, that's
right.
A couple of one or two main items for the agenda and
question. In fact, I mentioned this in my email about the fact that I'm ready to give this article in the paper.
Who sends out the agenda now? It used to be that Tom would send them. Is there, we never got any. I had to ask Terrence. Who's supposed to be sending out into the email list? He's not doing it. He's not doing that. And that's another thing that encourages the agenda, because people might read it and then say, oh, I'm going to see that.
I've got an idea. Why don't you guys have, and you think this sounds ridiculous, but it works. Flyers going to people's homes.
That's a lot of money. Big time, big time.
No,
not mailing. Walk. I've done it. Oh, I've done that kind of work before, and it's actually good exercise.
Get Wendy to do it.
Yeah, I actually think it's a great idea, and I think you should consider it. I think it goes along with the flyer that we talked about. So if you have a good flyer, like you say, that has, who to contact, what the best, who to contact, when, where to look for information, I think it's great.
And be surprised.
And hopefully the newsletter can take a little block or two.
Exactly.
And walk, but I think it's a good idea to do it.
Right.
Right, and so if it doesn't happen, then you can say that and that's why it didn't happen. The county
doesn't
have it.
Okay, so this
is
just
oh my goodness.
Right. And then I thought about the meeting in Exodus. Should say that this year and we can have all the bills. And I think I'm not mine, that we can get to the bill as well. But a lot of times, we're able to get the publication
meeting.
It's
like a month
in advance,
we're just
saying, you know, half meeting, you know, half meeting, it's on the second one,
Most people throw that away.
I'll make a couple comments. One, Tara, on your ideas,
to target a specific area when we came in our interior bulk mailing and everything else. And the other one, I mean, Michelle, I'm going to teach her, and 90% of the paperwork that gets at home never made it home. It really is a pretty low percentage.
Okay, I'm willing to pass out some of those flyers if you want.
So we appreciate that, and we'll be working on the flyers. Back to the goals for a second. Is there, do you like the way it's working? Do you want to change your thing? We've got to change it here. But do you want to leave it in a different form, or? So can you vote on adoption?
I'll make a motion for adoption of the addition.
Yeah, which is I'll second that. Any discussion? In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. I did have down here on the agenda to discuss the revised draft policy recommendations that you were asking about. All right, I have a at Roswell and Abbey Way. And
the zoning administrator at the state meeting. She called the hearing over because she wanted to get some more information about the frontage improvements along Akron. And if you drive by there, I actually made a drawing and sent it into her because the cars parked in front on La Paloma headed in, but then they've also been parking on Appian Way facing the building. And if you look at where those cars are, they actually, in order to park there, they go over the little curb, but then they pull over, so sometimes they're right behind the pole where, let's say, the street light is. Also, that area right in there is a bus stop. And so that's what we wanted the county to step in and take a look at, because public works system, they have to do a lot of improvements there. Okay, well, then are they going to continue to be allowed to park there? They probably shouldn't be. So anyway, that matter was held over to May 19th. 14, you just heard about that. House addition or the approval of the changes made to 4171 Garden Lane were not, everything was okay except what they did, there was a garage that the owners had changed into almost a duplex kind of style home. And then they were going to the county to get this approved. And the county said, no, it should not be a duplex, it should not be an apartment, it should go back to a garage. Ken Oaks 2, nothing is going on with that right now. The developers are kind of stepping back and waiting to see what goes on. Sleepy Hollow this is 15 duet homes. Actually, it's probably 6 duets and then 3 separate homes, something like that. Mm-hmm. On a property on Dam Road, about a half a block from Valley View, and the best way to find it is across from Ed's Bar. And this had come to us before, but what happened was they said they were going to remove 30 trees. In actuality, when they got the report from the tree people, they're going to be removing 108, something like 108 trees. Most of them, however, are eucalyptus trees. And then they replace them with redwoods. So the problem that we had with that, with the property, is that everything is cut up, so it is all privately owned. So that parcel one owns, takes in the entrance road, and then there's kind of a drainage area, and that's cut into several different, and then cross street, that is also, everything is privately owned, and our concern was, then how did they work it out so that everybody replaces it, and isn't it true that the bigger parcel you own, the more taxes you pay? And yet they wouldn't have any more use of the property, and then who pays for repairing the roads? So we were suggesting that the county could then take a look at it and come up with an HOA that, like there's a little turnaround space in the middle of the curved area. And okay, then the group as a whole has to maintain the trees and the streets and all that. And so we'll see which way to go.
Is that also Bronte area?
And then the other thing was the Park Road property, and I just fortunately had an opportunity. I don't know if all of these have 1, 2, 3, 4 pages, or if two of them may just have 2 or 3 pages. But this gives you an idea of the project space. It goes back to 1991. This is a map from the Park District. And you can see the Johnson property there, and then the Clark Road property is kind of an H-shaped parcel. And what Jim Centuro, who is the one involved with Clark Road, he's been talking to, okay, yeah, you're not going to be able to see the buildings, but, we've been talking to the owners about the, buying the property, whatever, and then he went to John Molman, who's an architect, and what John Molman did, he was asked to look at the property, which is the H-shaped consistency there, and what could you put on that that would probably get approved and not cause a lot of problems? And so what John Molman came up with was an extension right in here off of Canyon Road that would put up 11 homes in and a cul-de-sac. Then he went over to the other side of the project, which has access to Leisure Lane, and said, well, we could put a, again, a cul-de-sac there with 45 homes. So it would be about 56, 57 homes on about roughly 25 acres. But it would leave 120 acres, pardon me, in open space. And so I got a call from one of the owners. They're interested in talking to us about it. They've held the property for quite a while. And they, you know, it's like they were the new kid in town and saw this and, oh, we can buy that and do all this. And then they found out, oh, you can. Because it's going to take millions, because part of it is above the 400-foot level, and has to have underground licensing and all of that kind of stuff. And so when we discussed it with some of the neighbors at our last meeting, it was like, oh, we could live with that. I mean, this is right here, it's right here, it's just a little bit. And so this is where it comes in. They set aside close to $900,000 to expand Wildcat Canyon Park, which this is very close to. So, which is, you know, it's one of those things you just wait and see what's going on. And then the other comment about forest green, they are not going to be the builders of that project. They might build 3 to 5 houses in a kind of a little gated area on the property, but their goal is to get it approved, put it together, and then pass it on to someone else who would actually build it. So that's what's going on with Forest Green. And there will be a rewriting of the EIR Volume 2, which is response to comment, if Jim Santoro can come up with the money. Because the way it works, they pay the money first, the city chooses the person or the group consultants that do the work. And the last group that is in charge, they set the work to the city. So, good enough. So that's where we are with that. Jim Santoro is the person working for with General Holding, and General Holding is the company that is doing Forest Green. And then it's a
few main consultants that he works for.
He works for General Holding.
He does work for General Holding.
Right. And one of the neighbors, Tom Orbaugh, gave me some information that he'd gotten off the internet from General Holding's plans in where they're having problems. It's gone on for a year or more with hillside ordinance and where their development is going in, whether it's going to go ahead or not. So it's kind of at a scary place right now. And then the last thing is just the information that was in the newsletter about, and it does mention in there the park district and different park districts, and they were very interested in having a, you know, horse stable there. Which still, it was be a plus for everybody in the neighborhood. So, yeah. it's been, right now, Shirley's voting, you know, she is a scientist, so that it could not be determined. Yeah, yeah, very, very detailed. She's a retired nurse, and very detail-oriented about what she does. Well, usually, that's the other thing that Larry Kansas was mentioning, but he was more or less tying it back to Clark Road. Because if it was in a conservation easement, what happens is there's a payback. So somebody else in the county gets permission to build and mess up, a beaver area, so to speak. And then in order to pay back because they messed that up, they would then be told, okay, you have to send or X dollars to this company or company who has the conservation easement, and then they manage the conservation easement and give out these credits. Then when they actually get the money back in their accounts that pays them for the land, then they have to turn the land over to a nonprofit. So that's what they were talking about doing with the Canyon Oaks 400 acres over there, and that was what he brought up again with possibly the Clark Road property. So it's a possibility, but you never know how it's going to go. But it does seem that the owners are interested in doing something and getting out of it. Because they've been holding on to the property for quite a number of years now. Clark Road.
Thank you very much, Walter. A great update. I just want to say the amount of time in the home of Randall, I'm going to tell you the place is unbelievable. It's really, really good. And when those people go out and like this garden loan project, they talk to the neighbors, they send notices to the neighbors to come to meetings, they write letters, they have people who have expertise in the building, and it amazes me. It amazes me that Eleanor has a chair to actually put in all this work. I don't know of another person around that would put in the amount of time and effort that I've known on this thing. You're to be commended.
Okay,
remember.
I really, really appreciate it.
No, not by me.
I want to ask a question for Eleanor. This Sleepy Hollow thing.
Yeah.
1.5 acres, 15 units, 15 individuals.
Thank you.
from Coast Water Oaks.
So there's 130 trees that they're going to destroy, and they're just going to replace it with 24?
No. They will be putting the trees, he said, one-to-one. And they will be a larger size tree. Usually the county will do a two-for-one or three-for-one, but they're doing a one-to-one because they're going to put more money into buying bigger trees. And they do have a big oak tree on site in that central step. So it's
and they still have enough room for all those houses that they say yes.
So thank you. Any comments on the community targeting commission?
Thank you.
Susan, if you want to see a moratorium on water hookups, how would you feel about in these redevelopment areas and general plan change areas? Would you like to see those also have a moratorium on water hookups, which would prevent them from taking place?
I'll bet you wouldn't.
any other comments on that or announcement? Well, the agenda items here for coming, the notes at the very bottom. Here, I see the notes and stuff, a letter to the chamber requesting that the next one.
Yeah,
okay. So I think it's our plan to do the planning of the people to draft it.